Tonight, we're going on an investigation. All right? So you can pretend that you're, I don't know if you want to pretend that you're private detectives or police or whatever.
FBI.
We're going on a CIA. We're going on an investigation.
CIS.
There we go. Yes, yes. So there's a verse in the Bible that is quoted many, many times, but I think it's sometimes we quote it so much, I wonder if we really think about what it really says. And so I want us to investigate this particular verse and see with the goal on how God works with us, okay? How God works with us. You know, we are recipients of the greatest gift that man could ever imagine. And that's the gift of Holy Spirit, right? Eternal life, nine manifestations. God is so awesome. He's called us to his family. We're born again of incorruptible seed. We have this eternal life. We have Holy Spirit. And also, he's given us the awesome responsibility of using this gift in the family business. And the family business is holding forth the Word of God, like we've been encouraged here, as well as blessing one another in the family of God. You know, we are ambassadors, right? It says so in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20, where we're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We have the Word of reconciliation. And we have a wonderful opportunity to bring the lost to Christ. I cannot think of anything better to do for somebody than to help them come to Christ, get born again, and have eternal life. So how does God work with us to accomplish this? And there's this verse, as I started out, we're going to investigate this verse, and I trust it will help us learn how God works with us in a deeper way. And that verse is in Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13. And you'll probably know this verse, you've heard it probably many, many times. For it is God which worketh in you both, what's both mean? Both two things, right? Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God gives us the privilege not only to do the work, but to will it, to have the desire to do the work of the ministry. To do his good pleasure. Yeah. We get to do God's good pleasure. And he gives us the will, the desire, and the ability to do it. So, you know, as I mentioned in Corinthians, we have we're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember in Acts 1:8, Jesus Christ, his last words said, you're going to receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you're going to be what?
Witnesses.
And Jerusalem, and that's it? Nope. The uttermost parts of the world, including San Diego and Arizona. Yes. Everywhere. But God works with us to do his good pleasure in two kind of ways. So let's investigate this a little bit. And this word to will, okay, for it is God that worketh in us both to will. What does that word will mean? And in the Greek is thelo, T-H-E-L-O, long O. And it literally means to will or to desire. to desire. Yeah, and Thayer, who is probably the most recognized biblical scholar in Greek, Thayer defines it a little further. He says to be resolved with a purpose and to have a mind to do. To have purpose and a mind to do. Have that resolution in your mind. That's the will, the desire. I mean, when we think about desire, that's what we have a desire for ice cream, right? Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We're just going to sit home and think about it? No, we're gonna go get it. Yeah, we're gonna act on it. It's we have a purpose in our mind that we're gonna do something about it. So, as we fellowship with the Father, He's going to encourage us with these desires. He's gonna nudge. You mentioned about nudging. God's going to nudge us because He wants us to have the desire to do this. Now, I know people, you know, we talk about going out witnessing, and I don't want to go out witnessing and talk to people and stuff, and I get it. I'm not, you know, naturally verbose and all that stuff, but I tell you what, with this Saturday morning Agape Now outreach we do in Old Town, it is so much fun. If we don't do it, I feel weird that we don't do it. And it's just a great opportunity to walk by the Spirit and to minister to people, pray for people. It is a lot of fun. But what about that desire? See, God can work within you for that desire, that will, that you have, that you can grow. Now, if you're not talking with Him, if you're not fellowship with Him, if you're not reading His Word, I don't know what kind of desire you're going to have. But when you talk with Him and you pray with Him, you get into His Word, I tell you what, He's going to build a desire in you. Big time. Big time. So are we listening for His influence? Are we listening for His nudge to do His good pleasure? So we need to let Him get us excited about being His ambassadors, because He's going to fill us with great desire to do the work of the ministry. That's for sure. Now, there's two things involved here in this verse, right? In light of doing God's good pleasure. It's to have that desire, but it's also to do. And the Greek word there is energeia, where we get the word energy, right? Energize, put in motion, to be effective in doing, to be energized. Thayer defines it to put forth power, to be at work. I mean, pretty basic, pretty simple, huh, to do. So God's going to work with us to do. And if we have, you know, hesitations or whatever, talk to Him. And He's going to work with you so that you can get excited about doing. Because He wants you to will. He wants you to have that desire. That's what the Word says. For God will work in you both to desire and to do His good pleasure, right? Mm-hmm. All right. We have the honorable privilege to work in the family business, bringing lost souls to Christ. As His ambassadors, we can do it. He's given us the enablements. He's given us Holy Spirit so that we can do it. There's some other verses I want to share along this line that I see kind of go hand in hand with this twofold aspect of desire and do. And one of them is in Jeremiah 4. If you want to go there, I better go there too. Usually I have these verses quoted in my notes, but I don't have this one. So I'm probably in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 4, okay, Jeremiah 4, we'll start verse 1. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth and judgment and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, and this is what he's telling them to do, okay? The men in Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. So what does that mean, to break up your fallow ground? Well, Judy and I, a couple months ago, went to her garden in the backyard there. You'll see it Sunday. And the dirt was kind of rough, so we had to break it up, right? When the farmers start to sow to do anything, the very first thing they got to do is till the thing, turn over, plow, right? Well, that's what this is talking about, okay? So, you know, is he talking about gardening here? No, he's talking about in their minds, okay? He's talking about in their brain cells. Break up the fallow ground. Get your brain squared away. Get all the junk out of there. Break it up so that you can have the desire to do my will. Then the second part is what? Sow not among thorns. So the action, the doing part, is don't sow in thorns. If you have thorns in your garden, do you put your seeds in there? No, no. You get rid of the thorns, right? You break it up, you get the ground softened up, and then you put the seeds in it. Isn't that neat? Great, great insight here. Very good insight. Let's go back a couple of chapters. Chapter 2. Chapter 2, and here's a familiar verse for many of us, I think, in verse 13. Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. What are the two evils that God's people, this is God's people, not the non-believers, these are his people. And what did they do? They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns. What's a cistern? Big old well or a big tank. And what's unique about the tank that they are talking about here?
It's got a crack in it.
It's got a crack in it. It's broken, and it can hold how much water?
No water.
So, two evils here. And boy, oh boy, he's talking to his people. And this is a good lesson for us. God is a fountain of living waters, right? Wow. A mind picture, right? Fountain of living waters. Just have our mind filled with that fountain of living waters, God's word. Yes, that will really help our desire. And then he's telling them in a due fashion, he's telling them what they did wrong. The evil was they hewed out cisterns. Well, we don't want to hew out cisterns, right? Our own ideas, our own thoughts, or somebody else's own thoughts. We want to put God's thoughts to action, right? We put God's thoughts to action, and we work that way. We don't do our own cisterns. We do his cisterns. Really? Okay? So, I guess you're seeing the value here of this verse as we've investigated it. and seeing the value of God's working within us to have desire, right? And to do of His good pleasure. But we're not done yet. One more section of Scripture, Philippians. So go to Philippians chapter 4 this time. We're going to close here. Philippians 4. Verse 8. And again, think along the lines of working our minds to have that desire, the will, and then the do aspect as well. But here in chapter 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what should we do? Where do you think? In your brain cells, right? You think. That's where your desires are. You think. Think on these things. What are you going to think on? Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if they have virtue, if there be any praise, we're going to think on those things. Okay, so what's next? Those things which you have both learned and received, verse 9, and heard and seen in me, what's the next word?
Do.
Do. Do. And what's going to happen? God of peace is going to be with us. Woo! Wow, what a lifestyle we get to live, huh? It is so amazing. God has encouraged us to do His good pleasure. He's going to work with our will, our desire. He's going to work with our doing. Yeah. And we do our part. Obviously, we have to open our hearts. We have to be meek to receive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And be there so that He can communicate with us, so that we can have that desire. And then we get to do.
Amen.
To do God's pleasures. I can't think of anything better to do than to do of God's good pleasure. I mean, it's His good pleasure. I don't know what His bad pleasure is, but this is talking about His good pleasure. Wow. All right? Sound like a plan?
Amen, brother.
Did we investigate this verse? Do you comprehend it? Okay. Well, Father, thank You that You communicate so lovingly to us and that we can recognize the value of our lives and that we can do Your desire, that we can just have You work within us to do what's right and best, and that You'll talk to us, and then we can act on it. We can do it, and we can do Your good pleasure. What a privilege, Father. So I thank You for Your people, for the Word living in their hearts, and the action that'll take place. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hey.